Colossians chapter 2 is where we'll be this morning. It's towards the back of your Bible. If you didn't bring one, I encourage you to pull one out of the pew and look at it. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 is where we'll start this morning. If you're a regular here, you know that we have been in verse 8 through 15 for it seems like a year. And Lord willing, today we will finish with verse 15, which means we get to go to verse 16 next week. But Colossians 2, verse 8 through 15. And while you're turning there, just a quick reminder, we've had several things going on Sunday nights. The last two Sunday nights different. We are going back. It's about a month ago, we looked at the issue of racism, what the Bible had to say on that, and we spent 2 weeks. We're going back to that again tonight if you want to join us at 6. And then next Sunday night, we're actually going to have a joint time together with Holly Grove Baptist Church. So we'll hear more about that tonight, but come join us at 6 tonight for a good time. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 is where we start. It says there, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him." Let's pray. Lord, I thank You again for Your Word and Your Spirit. Lord, You know exactly where each one of us in this room is right now. Where our heart is, the journey we've been on, the frustrations, the joys, the experiences we've had just in the past week, even yesterday and today, Lord, You know exactly where we are. And Lord, if we're honest, many of us have to admit that we have not been fully devoted to You for that whole period of time. None of us can say we have been. And yet, Lord, In face of our sin and how we fall short, God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that You're a God who forgives and restores and renews and pursues. So God, I pray in this moment that Your Spirit would move in this place. Lord, that You would speak through me. Lord, that You would speak to our hearts. God, we don't want to just have another Sunday where we got together and sat and sang and listened and left. Lord, we want to encounter You. So God, I pray that You would have Your way. For those of us that are tired this morning, You would give us supernatural energy to awaken. For those of us that have been just become complacent in our relationship with You, You would awaken us. And for those of us, Lord, that may not even know You, God, that You would show us who You really are today. Today would be life-changing. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. In Colossians 2, verse 8 through 15, several things we've seen here. One, we started in verse 8. When we looked at that, that there are a lot of things competing for our hearts and minds in the world around us. There's a lot of lies around us. There's a lot of things that want to pull us aside and get us distracted. A lot of lies that we can buy into to determine who we are, what our value is, and what we live for. But it says to see to it that no one takes us captive through that. And then it goes from there. The answer to that, if you're worried that that's going to take place, the answer to that is Jesus Christ and who He is. And it's a beautiful passage of who Christ is. The fullness of God in the flesh. But not only that, then He takes us a step further to explain what all exactly He did for us on the cross. And you get down in verse 13, 14, where they took the certificate of debt, the decrees against us that was hostile to us, what the penalty that we deserved, and all our stuff lay bare, and he took it all upon himself. Took the wrath of God upon himself so that you could have life. Now that's good news, guys. Some of you looking at me like I just read the obituary. That is good news. All right? This is great news this morning. All right? You're in church. Nobody's here to kill you. Amen? This is good news. And the reason I bring that up is we're down to verse 15 this morning. And one of the things I see is that it seems like we have an abundant supply of defeated Christians today. You know the kind I'm talking about. You're out at Walmart. You run into them and you go, "Hey, how's it going?" And they're like, "Well, I'm okay." And you know good and well they're not okay, because the way they said it, it's about to be. And you're thinking, "Oh, wow." Southern culture, you're supposed to say fine and we move on. You're about to give me all of it right now, aren't you? "Well, I'm okay, but..." And then it just goes on and on. Now listen, that's not make light of the fact that we have very real struggles. Amen?
Amen.
Life is hard. Life is hard, and we have very real struggles, and the people around us have very real struggles, and it can knock us down and get us. But listen, we are not defeated. And what our world, our culture around us needs to see more than ever are Christians who are not living defeated.
Amen.
Because that doesn't inspire hope. It doesn't inspire us to think that anything can change. And we see that, we see from verse 15 that we have a Savior who is not defeated. And it should awaken us and give us hope this morning. So we see starting in verse 15, he says, it's talking about Jesus. Now verse 14, it ends with, he has taken it all out of the way, all the decrees against us, and he's nailed it to the cross. And it was done with. When he said it was finished, it was finished. But then verse 15 gives us a little more about what took place. It says there, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities. And what we see right away, the truth we see here this morning, one, is that our enemies have no power over us. Our enemies have no power over us. When it says there, the authorities and rulers, Paul uses that term throughout his letters. He's not speaking just of the literal physical authorities around us. That there's a lot more going on in life than what you can see.
Amen.
He tells us over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the world forces of wickedness, the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. That there is a battle going on around us that you cannot see. And if you don't think that's true, then you're in grave danger. Listen, believer in Christ, there's Satan and his forces would love to get you down, get you discouraged, get you distracted, make you feel defeated and give up. And the thing that scares me, that passage in Ephesians 6 that I read from verse 12, what follows that is the passage about the armor of God, which you learn when you're in VBS and you made a little armor and all that. But what I think happens is many of us forget. We wake up in the morning, we walk out the door and forget that there are forces against us that very day, that very moment, that would love to get you down. In fact, even this morning, right now, there are things going on, and I'm not trying to like overhype it so that you think like everything is the devil, but I want you to know there are things right now that would like to distract you in this service. There are things that would have loved to keep you from even being here this morning, and there are things that when you leave here today that would love just to get under your skin and get you distracted. Do you ever come to church and the first person you meet just kind of snaps your head off? Anybody ever had that happen? All right, four of us. So, the four of us need to stick together next Sunday. Maybe we're the only ones that get it. I don't know about anybody else, but it's happened to me. In fact, here's a little confession. I've actually been the one that snapped at somebody else when I walked into church. And you walk, and I walked away from that thinking, what in the world am I doing? They got out of bed and came to church, and the first thing I did was just smack them down. You know what part of that is? Now, part of that's just we're sinful, right? But part of that, too, is that there's a battle. There was nothing. The Satan would love to get us mad at each other. He loved to get us distracted, discouraged. But it says there, that Jesus had disarmed the rulers and authorities. He had disarmed them. He had rendered them their weapons powerless. And then what is the primary weapon? What is the primary thing that Satan has over us that needs to be rendered powerless? Well, above everything else, there's a lot of things we could fill in the blank there, but above everything else, it's the power of death. You think about the one thing that seems to have hold sway over people more than anything else is the power of death. How many of you have been to the doctor in the last year? And what do you? I can tell you what you learned when you went to the doctor. You want to know what you learned? You're getting older. Amen? You're getting older. In fact, just look in the mirror. You're getting older. And it starts to slowly fall apart. This is great news this morning, right? So to slowly fall apart. And I know if you're under 30 right now, you're like, you just kind of tune me out. If you're like in middle school, high school, you're like, I don't need to hear this. And listen, you will, one day this will come back. I hope you remember this, that it falls apart. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, death is looming over us. We know it's coming. We try to ignore it. We try to hide it. We try to fight against it, do everything to avoid it. But death is coming, and it's the one thing that has been held over us our entire life. Power of death drives people to do all kinds of crazy things. There's a scripture that even tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Says that, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. I think we have that yet. It put an end to the agony of death. Death is agonizing. It's painful, not only physically, but emotionally. When you lose someone, it is an emotional toll. As death is looming over all of us, but it says, when God raised him up and put an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power, death, so one, he rendered it powerless. The one weapon that Satan had, the biggest weapon, the biggest gun in his arsenal, Christ rendered powerless. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says there, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. He became like us, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. The fear of death enslaves us, consumes us. The fact that you have a doctor's appointment coming up and they're about to give you a result back from your test and it is you're anxious and you cannot sleep because of it, it's right there. The fear of death, still, even today for believers, has sway over us at times. But listen, verse 15 is declaring to us a truth that we don't always feel, but it is always true, that he has disarmed that thing. That he has disarmed the rulers and authorities, that they have, our enemies have no ultimate power over us. Now he goes on. Second thing we see is the lies that have been holding power over us are no longer true. They no longer hold power over us as well. The lies don't either. We see it in verse 15. It says, he made a public display of them. He made a public display of the rulers and authorities. You say, what does that mean? The first thing that pops in my mind is because it is football season, right? And you see grown men, right? Grown men with a little piece of leather that run down the field, and when they get into that thing they call the end zone, they do the most ridiculous things, don't they?
Amen.
Think about it. Thank you, Richard. They do some ridiculous things, right? I mean, we won't call any names, but there's some people, I mean, they don't even get in the end zone. They run 10 yards, and they stand up and they start making all kinds of gestures, right? And now, why do they do that? But one, they're showing people up around. They're displaying publicly that they just did something on somebody else. In fact, there's one person. I mean, you think about it. There's one person in our state that when they score a touchdown, what's their famous thing they do? They go like this, right? Anybody with me? Anybody know what we're talking about? Yeah. And what does this mean? If you don't know football, you're like, I don't care what this means. I think what he means is Superman, right? He's like, yes, I'm Superman. I just ran across 10 yards and I had a touchdown. Right?
Not lately.
Oh, that's what she said, not lately. Come on, he's he's going to do all right. He's going to do all right. I'm not a big fan, but he's going to be okay. So, but now think about this. That's just pretend. And maybe even better, though, are the reaction of the people in the stands. Right? I mean, we're talking about grown adults. Right? Grown adults that are acting like fools.
Amen.
Grown adults acting like fools. And if you wanted to see one yesterday, I was one yesterday, okay? Grown adult acting like a fool. But here's the thing. Think about this. Public display. What Christ did. You think about it. He died on the cross on a Friday. Satan thought he had won. Satan thought he had won. The Son of God in the flesh, he had been able to turn mankind, which that Son of God had created, been able to turn the man against him and crucify him. He had spread all his followers out. The thing was defeated. It was over. If it was a modern sports event, you'd have flipped the TV off like right then and walked out of the house disgusted like I did yesterday. But the beautiful thing is that 3 days later, Christ publicly displayed by coming out of a tomb. And I don't know what kind of touchdown celebration he did when he walked out, but if ever there was a time to do this, that was it right then, right? Amen. Greater than Superman walking out of a tomb, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering Satan, taking all of it out of the way. I mean, if there was ever a time to dance, it was right then. He publicly displayed. He put it out there. And not only that, but then he had the audacity and the nerve to appear and walk around and go back to the very ones that Satan thought he had conquered and get them back together and then draw a crowd of over 500 and show up there. He's just walking around. He's flaunting it in his face. And listen, as a third child and an instigator, there's nothing I love to do more than flaunt people's face. I love it, and I see it in my kids, and it annoys me when they do it to me, but like, it's just some of you know what I'm talking about. It's so much fun. Don't you just enjoy it when someone declares something and then they're wrong? Man, it's so much fun, isn't it? Come on, I know some of you love to say, "I told you so," amen? Don't look at your spouse right now. Some of you love to say, "I told you so." But listen, Christ had the greatest "I told you so" of all time. Walking out of the grave, saying, "I told you I was coming back. I told you, Satan, you have no power over me. I told you it was finished and it's over." But not only that, this word, when it says there that he that he made a public display of them, it also, that word can be translated, it can mean to expose. Because that's what you're doing when you're displaying something publicly. And since a lot of times when we're making fun of it, we're exposing how they fell short. He is exposing how Satan and his lies fell short.
Amen.
And listen today, believe you have victory today because Satan's lies have been exposed back then, and he's still exposing them today. You say, what kind of lies are we talking about? Lies like that this sin has got me beat. That I can never overcome this one. That I can never break free of whatever it is. Listen, he's publicly exposed that lie. It's not true. Lies like, you can never change. Or so-and-so will never change. It's not true. Lies like, God doesn't care. God doesn't care about you. Listen, when he walked out of the tomb, it was the greatest shout of all time that God cares. He goes on, he says, other lies. It's not worth the sacrifice. It's not worth doing. It's not worth living for God. It's not worth it. Just give in. It's okay. Lies like, your life isn't worth much. Lies like God will never forgive you. All of that has been exposed. All of that's not true. And he's declaring it emphatically today. And he declared it emphatically when he walked out of the tomb. He's victorious. Those lies have been rendered powerless. Which is back in verse 8. It said, "See to it that nothing take your thoughts captive." That's the very thing he's talking about. How do we fight against it? How do we battle against it? Listen. The end of the verse tells us that he displayed them publicly, made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Father triumphing over Satan and the lies and death through Christ.
Amen.
And the word triumph there, it would, for the readers here of Paul, they would immediately know that word. They would understand because the Romans were in charge. That's the word that they would use for Roman generals after they'd gone off the battle and they'd won. When they came back, they would lead a procession. And they would bring back all the ones they had taken captive, and all the people would come out and celebrate and rejoice in the victory, because it meant that they were still able to live as they had been. They were still Romans. They haven't been defeated, that they were victorious, and they would praise the one that was leading them along. And so when he says there that he having triumphed over them, he's speaking of Christ not only rising from the dead and making a public display of them, but then leading on in victory all the way to the hill. And when he was ascended up into heaven, it's the procession leading us up into the presence of the Father. Not only that, but he's going to come back. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And ultimately, he leads us all the way to glory. It starts now. The moment you accept Christ, he is now in your life and he is leading you victoriously. In John chapter 16, verse 33, listen to what your Savior says. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." And all God's children said, "Amen." In the world you have tribulation. In fact, raise your hand this morning if you've had any tribulation. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage. This is Jesus speaking. I have overcome the world. He's overcome it. You get over into 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to this verse as we put it up there, I think. It says there, "But thanks be to God." Now, the verses you're not going to see, we're not going to put them up there. The verses before that, Paul's talking about how he had no rest in his spirit. He was turmoil. He was struggling because he wanted to go somewhere, but he couldn't stay there because he needed to be somewhere else. And there was burdens upon him. But he says, "Thanks be to God who always, always," everybody say always.
Always.
Look at your neighbor and say always.
Always.
"Who always," what? "Leads us." And not only does he always lead us, but he always leads us in what?
Triumph.
In victory in Christ. You're not defeated. You're not overcome. It's not more than, listen, it is more than you can bear, carry and bear, but it is not more than he can carry and bear. Amen? It says he always leads us in triumph in Christ. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. He always does this. Even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, even when you doubt it, even when you don't listen, he always leads you in victory. It says over in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it says, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who leads us." And all these things, we overwhelmingly. And that's Paul creating words there, putting Greek words together. Overwhelmingly, abundantly, be over, over and beyond. Conquer. And you say, what are the things that he's talking about? We're not going to put it up there, but back up in verse 35, he asks about who should separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword, death, turmoil, family struggles, work struggles, kid struggles, parent struggles, neighbor struggles, health struggles, world struggles, election struggles, shall any of that separate us from the love of Christ? We say no. We overwhelmingly conquer through him. And understand the emphasis there is not on us. The emphasis is on him. The only confidence I have in this world is Jesus Christ. The only hope I have in this world is Jesus Christ. The only reason that I can know I can get up tomorrow and not be defeated by sin or overcome by the foolishness of others. You ever had people just, the way they act, it just, man, it knocks you down and you just want to give up, right? Listen, you can be disappointed. Other people will disappoint you. They will let you down. But the only thing that's going to help you overcome and know that ultimately it will work out is who? Jesus Christ. You are more than conquerors. You are victorious. Back in Colossians 2. Tells us that he's disarmed them, he's made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Now the question this morning is, are you defeated? And I want you just to think long and hard for a second. Are you discouraged? Are you ready to throw your hands up? And maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's about someone dear in your life that you've prayed and you've done everything you know to do and there's no change and it just seems hopeless. Are you defeated? Because we have a Savior that has conquered. Does it mean he's going to work today? Maybe not. Does it mean he can though? Absolutely. If sin in your life, be it worry, I mean, we could go down the list. Worry, gossip, lust, anger. I mean, I mean, there's plenty that we can fill in the blank. All of us have it. The sin that's been with you for so long and it's just part of your life, listen. He's victorious. And the victory that he has earned on the cross and on the resurrection is also the victory that you now have. You say, what do I do then? I don't feel it this morning. I don't feel victorious. You cling to the truth that he is. And you hold on tight, because here's what will happen. If you hold on tight and keep following, he will lead you in triumph. And ultimately you will see it. And when the day that you see it, when you do, the praise that comes out of your mouth will be glorious. Because you've endured and held on. Listen, he is working things out right now that you can't see, that you don't know. He has thousands of reasons why things have happened the way they have, that you don't have access to. But you have to understand he's a good God. Control. And you got to trust his leading even when you can't see where you're going. Father God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you. We don't have to fear. We don't have to give up. And Lord, you know, some of us in the room are ready to. And maybe we already have, but Lord, I pray that you'd help us to get back up. We've fallen, help us to get back up. We've been discouraged and despondent and despairing, Lord, I pray that you help us to get back up and look to you, God, and see that you ultimately are victorious and that you are at least still leading us, that you haven't abandoned us or given up on us, and you haven't led us astray. God, I pray this morning you would help us to have hope and joy and peace, even in the midst of the struggles, Lord. I pray even now you would do that, God. You would awaken us. You'd help us to see it. All for your glory, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd stand, we're going to have our time of invitation. Listen, I am inviting you this morning. She's just going to play, and we're not going to do this long. So listen, I'm inviting you this morning to respond to God. If it's in your own life, or maybe it's in the life of someone around, and it seems hopeless, and it seems like you've given up or they've given up. Listen, this morning, I'm inviting you to respond and come and talk to the Lord in prayer about this truth, that he is victorious. No more defeated Christian. No more giving up. He always leads us in triumph. And some of us just need to get on our knees and cry out, It's not time to give up, because he's victorious. And whatever it may be in your life, listen, the altar's open. I'll be down front. But right now, we're not going to do this long. Right now is the time. If you need to come cry out to God, come now. As she plays, we're not going to sing. You can close eyes closed, heads bowed. This is the time to respond. If things are down, if you're just struggling, or maybe it's to lift somebody else up who is. Altar's open. You come now, because we're not going to do this long. As God leads, you respond.